Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 293, I think. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Why, hello. How are you?
Not too bad. A little bit tired, but yeah. I'm excited because we get to talk to Jasper a little bit later on.
I always really enjoy when Jasper's on.
Yeah, he's good.
Actually, he's the best guest, isn't he?
Don't say that.
Well, okay.
Mick will be listening.
Yeah.
Mick's great.
They are good side by side.
When they're together.
Yes.
It's good. I think we'll have to talk about, obviously, the Barbie movie, because that's what Jasper's coming on to talk about, because we saw it together.
Yes.
A group of us went and saw it and we had a lot of fun. So we'll be talking about that very soon in the watching suggestion. In fact, I think we want to just focus on that. So
yeah,
we might
Barbie
just,
it up today.
Yeah, I think so. And a quiz is not Barbie related because last week we did a Barbie movie. A Barbie quiz.
I mean, you know I'd happily do it. Barbie too.
I realise. Yeah. But I thought, I was just playing with the cats and I thought, you know what?
Yeah.
We're doing a pet one.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you a famous person and then you've got to tell me if they have a cat or a dog.
Okay, nice.
But not now. Not now.
Is Barbie in there? She's famous and she's got
no,
a dog.
No, she's got a dog. But no, because you already know. Right. You're a no.
Answered.
Would you like to get into some meows?
I shall.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
Special Forces, world's toughest test. Have you heard of this?
No.
So Fox over in the US has announced that there's going to be 14 celebrities. I'm sure they're using that term very loosely to be on the second season of this show called Special Forces World's Toughest Test. They're going to be Tom Sandoval. That's why. Tara Reid, Blank China, Jojo Siwa. I'm going to say other names that don't know them, but Des Bryant, Tyler Cameron, Savannah Chrisley, Brian Austin Green.
What? Now he is.
That's a get.
He's
that
above
is a
them.
Get. That is a get. Robert Horry, Aaron Jackson, Bode Miller, Jack Osborne.
Oh, okay.
Kelly Rizzo and Nick Vial. I wonder if he is. Or she is. They will, I'm going to quote directly from this Deadline article, it's an endurance thing and they'll be tested in some of the harshest, most grueling challenges from the playbook of actual Special Forces selection process.
Mm.
So no one gets eliminated. They literally just have to go through it and they'll be doing their winter warfare training on the mountains of New Zealand. So obviously there'll be a lot of, oh my gosh, I think we're in like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And the reason I wanted to talk about it was because Tom Sandoval, Tom Saundersville.
You mean the one with the mustache?
That's right. Yeah. He's going to be in it. And I reckon in his eyes, he's gone, I've won.
I've won.
I've gotten out of that. I've got a new show now.
Yeah.
I'm in it.
My ex has made millions in endorsements.
It doesn't matter.
I'm doing Survival of the Fittest Nobodies.
And New Zealand. Yay.
I get to fly down under-ish.
But Brian Austin Green. I'm kind of tempted. I want to watch a little bit of it.
Yeah, me too.
That's okay. We don't have to feel ashamed.
I mean,
we don't have
5 minutes
ashamed.
In, we'll be like, ugh. Don't care, don't know anyone.
But I mean, no, but we know Brian Austin Green. We know some of them. We definitely know some of them.
We like Brian Austin
Green.
We
like Brian Austin
That's
Green.
That's the difference.
David Silver.
Well, yeah, that's why we like Brian Austin Green. He's David Silver. Will he bring his keyboard?
I hope so. Will he do the dance?
He better
do the dance. Yeah. Would you like to know how much money over the weekend that we had last, when we saw Barbie.
Yes.
How much that movie has made? $800 million worldwide.
Just that weekend or up to that weekend?
Up to that weekend. Including, so the whole, from the whole time.
Wow.
67 international box office markets made that total a thing. Unbelievable, right? I was just reading here.
Kudos. Like,
of course,
I think it would be a big risk to take it to, you know, producers and say, I want to do a movie. It's going really good. It's about Barbie.
It's about Barbie.
How many people would be like, nah.
Is it for kids?
No, it's not for kids. It's an adult movie about Barbie. Nah, nah. You're like, well, I'm going to prove you wrong with $800 million.
I know. I think definitely the Barbenheimer thing is a thing that's pushing it. Obviously, Barbie is the one that people would go to more because it's fun. You know, yeah. It's funny, it's lighthearted. But, you know.
You're getting the kids there. When we went there, I mean, not young kids, but there were a lot of tweens.
But they were younger kids and they were bored. They were doing cartwheels down the front. But that's okay. I mean, we weren't sitting down the front, so we weren't annoyed by them. But
they weren't noisy. No.
They were fine. I was going to say that for Warner Brothers, this has surpassed the Joker in terms of how much box office revenue it gets second weekend in. So that's really, really cool.
Oh my gosh, I feel really proud being a Barbie fan.
I know, I'm part of it. Like, we gave them money. Yes. Oppenheimer's doing really well too.
I can imagine.
Over $400 million.
That's huge.
I will go and watch that, maybe not at the movies.
Yeah.
I probably will wait till it's on just because I've heard it's long.
Yeah, I have heard it's long. But I do feel like it would be a movie that's better in the movies with the dark, complete dark, beautiful surround sound. I do think it would be a better viewing experience.
Yeah, I get you. I probably won't do it though. But I understand what you're saying.
I only go to the movies like...
Well, once every 20 years.
Once every 20 years.
Yeah. No, we're going to go more because we've got vouchers. We were talking about movies that are out, and Haunted Mansion by Disney went to the movies. Like, it was at the cinema, it was at the theaters, and I think it made third this weekend. You know, there was a bit of a difference, but anyway, between Oppenheimer, Barbie and Haunted Mansion, but that's fine. But what I thought was really interesting is that they have also released a board game, a tabletop game.
Nice.
For about Haunted Mansion. And it kind of looks, I was having a bit of a look at it, and, you know, the art design is really, you know, Disney animated, like really sort of cartoony. Well, it is definitely cartoony. And I think it's a game that would be perfect for families to play, you know, have the kids there.
That's what you want. You want to bring back those family game nights. Get everybody out of their separate rooms, off their devices, and bring them together for fun.
Have a good fun night. And apparently it's not that much. It's about $30-odd.
That's so
really
reasonable.
Cheap for board games. You know, you can get board games that are like $200.
It's ridiculous.
It's insane. So Haunted Mansion, I don't know, I might check it out. Maybe somebody of a younger variety will end up getting it for Christmas or something. We'll see.
Wonder who that will be.
I don't know. Final news story is, it's a downer but not a downer, but it's kind of a downer, but it's not the worst thing.
Yeah.
So Judi Dench has spoken in the recent past and now about her deteriorating eyesight, and she said she can't actually read the scripts anymore, and she can't see on film sets very well anymore, so she kind of needs someone to help her.
Yeah.
And she said that it's been a most terrible shock to the system, saying it's ghastly, it's terrible to be so dependent on people.
Yeah.
She said, I can't see to read, so I can't see much. I'm quoting from her, but, you know, you just deal with it. You get on. It's very English.
Mm.
It's difficult for me if I have any length of a part and I haven't found a way to get over it, because the way she would memorize scripts is she said she's got a photographic memory.
Yeah.
And when you can't see it, suddenly she's having to use a different part of her brain. She's having to remember what people are saying to her. So she's got friends and families who are saying the lines to her, and then she has to memorize it back. And, you know, if your brain doesn't work that way, then it is a bit of a challenge. So I wonder how many more films she will actually do. And if she does do them, they may just be smaller parts now.
Yeah.
Sucks getting old, doesn't it?
Oh, getting old is just the worst.
Yeah, it's not nice at all. I would frown in its general direction, but I'm not sure it will look at me.
Not sure which direction it's
coming from.
I
don't know what direction it's coming from. It's just...
Where is the future?
It's everywhere. Final story is that Mattel is kind of making a Mattel cinematic universe. Think of Marvel, think of Lord of the Rings, think of Star Wars. Now it's going to be Mattel. They want to make a whole heap of films based on all of their dolls, which I think is really interesting because often there were a lot of dolls that were being used as, well, sorry, a lot of films that were being used to sell dolls, like Star Wars, you know, they made that
good point.
All of the little figurines and everything, which was not the main purpose, but that's where a lot of the money
merchandise,
came from. It was all merchandise.
It reminds me of Spaceballs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, I need to see that movie again. So Mattel's apparently got 45 films in the works, and one of them is looking like it's Polly Pocket. I think you had a Polly Pocket, right?
I think I only had one. Yeah. I never quite
you might have
got
into as a present.
Them. Yeah. I was a loyal Barbie player.
Yeah, you didn't need Polly Pocket.
I didn't need anything else, and then I think I probably aged out of Polly
Pockets. Yeah, a bit quickly. Mm. Yeah, a little quickly. So we're not exactly sure what the movie's about, but Variety did say that it will center on a young girl and a pocket-sized woman who form a friendship.
And they've cast Lily Collins.
Lily Collins is in it.
As Polly.
Yeah, exactly. As it's going to be a child who is obsessed with Polly Pockets and is a real dream come true, she said.
But she's not only starring, she's also producing it.
Yeah.
And they've also got, I mean, this is a movie of heavyweight. Mm. Lena Dunham is writing and directing it.
Of course. Made Girls. Yeah.
So I kind of feel like they've got another success on their hands.
I like the fact that they're really sort of looking, I mean, I'm thinking mainly Barbie right now, the Barbie film, but they're really saying, all right, this is not a Barbie film. Like, this is not a movie that kids, just for kids. Mm. We're going to make it really clever and cool, and we're going to get the adults who actually played with Polly Pockets to want to go and see it. And, you know, we're not just going to be tugging on the nostalgia strings. We're actually going to make a film that makes you think
about society
and
about
is for
roles
adults
and gender. And exactly. Yeah. I think it's going to be an interesting movie.
So interesting because Mattel, I don't know anything about Mattel. I just assume that they were a very conventional, traditional in terms of we don't want to change it up too much. I'm obviously really wrong.
I don't know that they
game,
are.
You know, just a toy place where they just make toys.
I think they, many years ago, I would even hazard a guess to say decades ago, they really looked at Barbie and thought, we have to reevaluate her and who she stands for and how we reconnect new audiences to her and give her some, I guess, positive advertising, you know, remarket her as somebody different so that she's not this, oh, you know, she's the ideal body shape that is just going to bring upon eating disorders and body shaming and all of that. They went, hang on, no, that's not what she's about. She's a doll, but the doll opens up a universe of possibilities for whoever plays. Doesn't have to be little girls, but whoever plays with it.
Yep.
And I think they've continued to do that in the Barbie universe.
Yeah, fair.
Which,
no, I just feel it's a real sort of change from what people assume a toy making company will do with films based on their IP.
But, like, what a clever idea.
It's going to work.
Because, I mean, you know, you go into any streaming service and type in Barbie and there are copious amounts of cartoons made about Barbie for children. But to put this incredible story about society into it using the doll as the main character, that's just wild.
It works so well. Yeah, Polly Pocket I think will be along the same lines.
I think it will be. I'm like interested. I mean, having not really – I don't know much about Polly Pocket at all.
There's probably not much to know. I think we're just going to learn whilst we watch the film.
Yeah.
Probably all it is. Would you like to get into a special watching suggestion?
Yes, I'd love to.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Jasper.
I know, one of our fave people.
Oh, there he is.
Hey.
Yes, Jasper.
Yeah.
Jasper.
Yes.
We want to talk about the Barbie movie.
Yes. Can I just firstly say happy birthday to Steph for yesterday?
Oh, thanks.
Happy birthday.
I gave you a ring, but I feel like you were probably otherwise engaged.
I think I was head deep in evening chaos.
I thought you were going to say something else, but, you know, chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos is fine.
Yeah, chaos.
Just chaos. But we did take a moment on the weekend to go and watch a movie that was filled with chaos, but we just got to enjoy it.
Fantastic.
Jasper. I loved it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Like, no one's asked me, but I loved it.
What do you reckon? We were talking about this at the just before the movie started. What do we reckon the last movie was that we saw?
Literally, if it's not Finding Nemo when that first came out, I cannot remember what it was.
Yeah.
So it must be that. So what's that, like 2006?
Why has it taken us so long? Jeez. I don't get it.
What regulars we are.
Yeah.
Surely we saw one of the, like, Marvels or something. I don't know.
I don't know.
Lord of the Rings.
I just can't remember.
But Lord of the Rings would have been before,
less
right?
Recent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, I just looked it up. Finding Nemo was 2003.
20 years ago.
That is literally 20 years.
What? That is ridiculous.
Okay, well, I'll see you in 20 years for I don't know what.
Yeah, we better organize that. First off, so Steph said best movie she's ever seen, well, at least for a very long time. Yeah. Jasper, there was something interesting you said at the end. You said to me, you said...
I said I think we can reasonably agree that that's probably the greatest chick flick of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Beating.
Beating. It's at least in the same realm as Mean Girls.
Yeah. Leah and I were talking about that afterwards, and we said Mean Girls, because it's set in a high school, it has that sort of era to you, whereas this one, I know it's about a doll, I know it's about a kid thing, but it has far more adult conversations and ideals behind it that it sort of hits you differently as an adult versus a teen.
Well, it's about so much more, isn't it? And I think that I've thought about it since I said that, and I feel like calling it a chick flick might be minimizing it a little bit because, again, I think it is so much more than that, and I think it really speaks to some really deep issues. I think it's a really cool vehicle to have this really bubbly, vibrant world and just outrageous characters, even in both worlds. Like, you've got the sort of Will Ferrell character in the real world as well, and using that as a vehicle to say something so meaningful and so poignant and pertinent to the current state of affairs in our real world. I think that was really clever, really creative. And it also didn't really feel forced at all.
No, it didn't.
Some movies that try to have this message, sometimes it comes out of nowhere, sometimes it doesn't feel earned, whereas this one, it was interwoven throughout the whole movie.
It wasn't rammed down your throat like sometimes American films will do.
Yeah.
I mean, it was there. They made it obvious to us, but, it was clever.
I thought what was really interesting was it was always going to be a bit of a feminist movie, but it really spoke quite broadly and poignantly about masculinity and that toxic masculinity in the patriarchy. I thought that was such an interesting curveball I didn't expect at all to come from that movie.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it also really highlighted just how bizarre and antiquated it all is.
Yes.
And how it doesn't really seem to have a place in this world anymore. And I think the sort of absurdity of it, like taking that type of like you said, toxic masculinity and putting it both and juxtaposing it in both the real world and in the fake Barbie world, it just made it look so ridiculous.
But really,
they weren't doing anything that you can't imagine somebody doing.
Yeah.
To put it in that sort of fantasy world, it just made it feel so bizarre and just really pointed out how ridiculous the whole thing was.
Yeah. There was one line in there where they said, about masculinity, and they said, oh, you know, we still do it, but we just hide it a little bit better. Yeah. And I thought, that's a really, I think you could argue for and against that, quite frankly.
Yeah, basically, I think what he was saying was we still believe that it is a patriarchy in our souls. Mm. We believe it. We're pretending. We don't. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
But in terms of a Barbie fan, because I was the Barbie queen, I've still got all my Barbies packed away in storage somewhere, and I think they did the doll and the childhood memories that people of my age have grown up with dolls before we had iPads and all of those things to play with. We played with dolls, and they were Barbie dolls that we played with, and they were so special to us. They did that absolute justice. And there were so many things that, as somebody who knows Barbie in and out from a child's perspective, that I noticed that were done so beautifully. Like, even the rearview mirror of the Barbie car was the blue and pink sticker to represent a reflection of a mirror.
That you would have had in a Barbie car.
You would have had it. And I noticed that and started laughing and realized I'm the only person in this cinema who's laughing at that.
Yeah.
But I thought, they did it. Yeah. It wasn't just the overt things like Barbie stepping out of her heels and the her heels are still up. There were just these tiny little details that I thought, that's got to be applauded. They've done so well.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, Jasper, were there any Barbies floating around your house when you were growing up?
Oh, yeah. Like, obviously, so I've grown up with a younger sister, and that was a big part of her growing up. What Steph was saying just now, it kind of reminds me of how I felt watching the Mario movie a few months ago.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, there was sort of those big overt references, like, you know, he eats the mushroom and he gets bigger. Or,
yeah.
You know, he says the line, like, you know, it's like, say the line, but it's like, it's a meme Mario and stuff. But there's all the little references that reward you as a, you know, a super fan, of not just Mario, but of the sort of whole universe. Like, one of them was that their pizza shop was called, like, Punch Out Pizza, which I thought was a reference to, like, Mike Tyson on the SNES. And it's just, yeah, like what you said there, Steph, is if you've grown up with it and been surrounded by it, then there's going to be those things that will reward you for being a fan.
It's a really nice way of putting it.
It makes you feel like this movie was made for me.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And also, I guess, with super fans or people who know Barbies or Mario or whatever so well, to have the movie do these tiny little references that only a small percentage of the people at this cinema would know kind of legitimizes why these people who were in charge of making this film made the film. Like, they were the right ones to make it as well. Yeah.
You know, what was funny as well, Laura, my partner Laura, she actually noticed something that maybe you wouldn't have gotten, Steph.
Yeah.
It was that the girls at the school had the same names as the Bratz dolls.
Oh, yeah. I didn't notice that, but that is that is brilliant.
Is Bratz Mattel?
It must be.
Yeah.
So, because that was the first thing she said. And also her friend, because we saw it as a big group and, you know, my girlfriend was there too. And when they introduced them, she goes, oh, they're the Bratz.
The Bratz dolls. Oh,
that's cool.
Gosh, that's good. I really like that.
Yeah.
I was thinking when we were watching it, I thought the producers and the writers of this movie would have loved to have just watched audiences react and seen people in each audience around the world finding those little moments and being like,
they got that more than the last.
And like, yes, people are appreciating this. They're not just getting the obvious one-liners. They're picking up on these nuances that are intentional.
Jasper, do you reckon a lot of people are going to be trying to find Alan? Because I went to find Alan because I thought it would be really funny to get Alan, the doll. Yeah. Michael, Sarah played that Alan doll who I'd never heard of before, and I was like, that would be so funny if I got that for Steph for her birthday. Surely they make it. And I went online and I was like, whoa, they had like this four-pack. It was a four-pack because there were four dolls in it of Barbie, vintage Barbie, vintage Ken, Vintage, I think it was Skipper or something, mm-hmm. and Vintage mm-hmm. Allen, $1,200. I said, nah, Steph, you're not getting Allen. Yeah, yeah. You're not getting
that
it.
That would be a massive screenshot. Collector's item now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I was really surprised they didn't bring them out. Maybe they have. Maybe I just didn't.
I
would have thought it would be pretty obvious.
I did have a little look in the toy shop the other day. I didn't see Allen, but there were Barbies from the movie, and it says,
oh, Margot Robbie.
Yeah, and also Ryan Gosling.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
doing Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the good thing is, like, it was pretty clean as a movie.
Yeah.
There were some of those jokes where it's like, if you're an adult, you're going to get it.
And if you know, you know.
Yeah. It's just going to fly
straight over
your
head. Over their head. So, like, great for all ages.
I did honestly, like that there was one swear word that was censored, yeah. Mattel. I thought that was really funny.
That was very funny. The cinema laughed. It was a good one.
But yeah, honestly, like I couldn't recommend that movie enough to literally anybody who's a fan of any movies.
Really. Any movie. Yeah. It's really entertaining and it's fun. Mm. I could just, hitting all the right places.
So many famous people in there as well. Like, you know, even just sitting there looking at watching the beginning and, you know, some of the names that pop up, I'm like, oh, can't wait to see who this person
half
is.
Half the cast from Sex Education was in
there. Yeah, what was that? Like, there were three people that I recognised who were from the Netflix show Sex Education. They're from England, so they're English.
Yep.
How there must be some. I haven't looked into it. There has to be a connection in there. Maybe Greta Gerwig had something to do with Sex Education. I'm not sure.
Even the cameos were big. Like Rob Brydon just turn up for one scene, and then John Cena's there, like playing a ukulele, like
in the ocean,
merman, merken. I guess you would call him.
I think there were a couple of scenes in there where I don't know if I've laughed as hard in a movie
recently.
But the whole thing was just super funny, and
it
I
was
just
great.
Don't think I expected that.
And even there,
I kind
of
went in with no expectations.
Yeah, I was the same. I sort of didn't want to have high expectations because I think I've got that heart string to Barbie that I thought, I don't want it to be bad. So I went in with no expectations and I laughed. And even the speech at the end, I was tearing up. I was like, they've got me. They got me.
Look, we don't want to give away the very end, the very last line, but that was good. I was really worried that the end was not going to land, but they landed it in the most unexpected way. I did not expect it. It was so funny. The whole crowd just laughed their heads off. So funny.
If anyone's planning on doing the Barbenheimer double feature, I think that would definitely be the one you want to end on.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Send the other way would be a bit rough. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Well, I've had lots of fun talking about Barbie and the Barbie movie. Sounds like there's going to be more Mattel stuff.
Yeah.
There's going to be a Mattel movie universe. So we'll probably have to go and watch more things. But
move over Marvel. It's all Mattel
exactly,
now.
Exactly. Exactly. But maybe, Jasper, I think we should start expecting more movie reviews from when the three or, you know, three of us and a group go and watch more movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for, what episode are we on now?
We think it's 293.
Okay. So for episode, what's 20 times 50?
No, I got it. 3,000. Let's just say episode 5,000 will be the next.
2043 will be seeing, like, maybe the conclusion of the Mattel universe at that point.
We'll all look back and go, remember when we thought that first Barbie movie was great?
Yeah.
It was, because there was only one of them.
Now we're seeing
and
Bratz Return,
got, like,
number 54.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. All right, well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. We'll have you on again soon. Enjoy your trivia night. Awesome. I hope there's a question about Barbie. Mm.
Let's hope so. Catch you soon.
Bye.
See you. What do you reckon we give a quiz a go?
You know I love the quiz.
Yeah.
Unless it's 50-50. Unless it's 12-4.
Well, it is 50-50. But I already warned you and you didn't seem worried when I told you.
I didn't seem worried then because cat and dog seemed easy, but now that I think about it.
Cat and dog is technically 50-50.
I know, I didn't think about that before, but now I am.
Do you want me to just quick fire it so that you don't have to think about it?
No, I think I get more stressed with a quick
fire. So you want slow?
Just give it to
me. Hi, Steph.
Hello.
How you doing? It's okay. Everything's going to be fine. I just want to know if Demi Moore has a cat or a dog. Demi Moore, Demi Moore.
No, I do feel torn on this one. But
Sammy
I
Demi
want...
Quaver Moore.
I want to say dog.
Yeah, a little tiny dog.
Yeah, that's what I imagined.
Tiny dog. Lily Collins, we were talking about her.
She got half to cat. She got a cat?
She got a snuggly brown dog called Redford.
Okay, I like that name.
He looked really cool.
Cute.
He looked like the kind of dog that would probably wear a bandana around his neck, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of one?
Yeah.
Very cute. What about Mandy Moore?
Mandy Moore. Well, I want to say dog, but then that's three dogs in a row, so does she have a cat? Cat.
She's called Peanut. Ginger boy.
Oh, cute. Peanut.
Well, I'm assuming it's a boy. Most ginger cats are boys.
Yeah.
It's 1/5 of ginger cats are girls. The rest are all boys.
And they would all be called Marmalade, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No. This one is a trick. So I want you to tell me how many of each this person has.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman.
Whoa, okay. She lives on a ranch or something now, doesn't she?
Does she live in America or here?
No clue.
Okay.
Okay, she's got two cats.
You're so close. Three cats.
Three
yes.
cats. Oh, you know, I thought three and I was like, nah.
Rescue cats, apparently.
Well, why wouldn't she?
She probably went off to the RSPCA.
Yeah, she lives in Australia. Yeah. And then I think, okay, three cats. And four dogs.
One dog.
Ah.
Brown, little brown poodle. Looked very cute. Okay. You know that chocolate sort of brown?
Yeah.
That light chocolate, like your dairy milk chocolate brown.
I feel like that is intentionally one animal per person in the family.
Oh, yeah, probably is. It probably is. Ed Sheeran. I know he's not an actor or anything, but I don't care.
He got a dog.
A cat named Gordon.
Love it.
Now, I can't remember what kind of cat it was. I think it was a tabby.
I really wanted to say cat and then I went, oh, see,
Gordon,
this is what happens.
What a great name for
I
an
love
animal.
Love it.
Gordon's a good name for a dog as well.
Brilliant.
It'd be around like one of those around little dog, you know, the cute little ones. Amelia Clark.
Cat.
She's got a little dash hound called Ted.
I think
so
I got
cute.
One right.
So cute. Look, we've had a wonderful episode. It's filled with fun and joy. So on that note, Steph, thank you very much.
Meow, meow. Meow, woof. I beach.